Welcome to the walkthrough.
What is going on, South Harmon? Welcome to the week three edition of the walkthrough. I'm Eddie Kewam, joined by Cody Carpentier. We are going game by game, walking through the entire week three slate. Cody, what the hell is going on, my friend? We are T-minus under a month from being under the same roof in the same city.
We're close. We're close, brother. And I think of the elephant in the room, we'll just bring it up. The Arch Manning era has officially begun at the University of Texas. You will never see Quinn Ewers take another snap. I'm just kidding. We're not going there. I just wanted to say Arch Manning officially getting some snaps. I want to ask you this question. This is my first thing, is we haven't talked. We didn't bring it up on the hurdle. This show is about week three NFL slate. But Maddie, you just asked how I'm doing. I just got out of a press conference with Steve Sarkisian, and he said Arch was starting, which we expected. But I just want to get your top-down thoughts just quickly. Arch Manning, what you saw last weekend, and what could potentially transpire this weekend against a miserable Louisiana Monroe team. This guy potentially throws for six touchdowns. Is he a top-five Heisman candidate in your book?
So two things came together in terms of the Arch Manning. It was the benching of Bryce Young, and I'll tie it together, and Arch Manning. And when Bryce Young was benched, they talked to Tom Brady, or a Tom Brady clip surfaced about him talking about the program. Instead of learning the playbook, he learned the program at Michigan, and that helped him carry that over to the pros and become this super successful player. And I tie that into Arch Manning because Arch Manning is getting that exactly at the University of Texas. And this should be the gold standard that top recruits should play. It's tough when you come from certain situations and you want to expedite your superstardom, but the way Arch Manning's done it with the rest of his family, it's perfect. Going to a ascending program, going to a offensive-minded head coach that, you know, may not have the most NFL experience, but has been in buildings with high-end NFL minds, and then allow yourself to not just go there and play as a freshman and run around, which we saw that he can do. He's very fast, very athletic. Go there, learn how to be an adult. Learn how to be a college football player. Learn to be and he's going to become, I think, one of the, I'm not going to call him a bust-proof prospect, but one of the safest prospects due to the process that's being set up right now. And I will say this too, he ain't going to Carolina. There's no way the Manning empire, the Manning dynasty, the Illuminati of the NFL is going to allow him to go to anything other than either alum franchise, you know, one of his uncles or his grandfather went to, or, you know, one of these upper echelon, good owner, top to bottom, brick by brick type of franchises like the other two kind of were able to set. It's awesome. It's fun to see, but Quinn Ewers will be back. From a Texas point of view, Quinn Ewers will be back. They know what their goal is. Their goal is to win a national championship, and Quinn Ewers gives them the best chance to do that. Arch Manning, however, probably gives them the highest ceiling to kick the living dog shit out of Louisiana Monroe.
Yes, I mean, I was completely, of course, joking when I said that we're never going to see Quinn again. That's,
of course, yeah.
Of course, very false. But they did release odds on,
oh God,
where Arch would be drafted. And you brought up Carolina. And again, this is a 2026 conversation. The favorites, the New York Giants, plus 400. The next team in line, Denver Broncos, plus 500.
Could see that.
Third team, Carolina Panthers, plus 600.
No way.
Fourth team, New Orleans Saints, plus 700. Absolutely. So what do these teams all have in common? Giants, bad quarterback, Eli Manning, Denver, rookie, Peyton's, you know, Super Bowl team. Third, Carolina Panthers, busted. Fourth, New Orleans Saints, where Carr is at, where Archie was at.
Yep.
And, I mean, there's,
like, I
mean,
I said, those are just legacy franchises.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean,
shoes way there. They'll make sure he's there.
Narlins would be pretty dirty. I mean, Carr, if this Carr thing, I mean, Carr's probably gonna, I think Carr will be good the rest of the year, but I mean, if they drop the ball next year, I mean, they got some contracts and all that stuff, so we'll see. Anyway, Maddie, let's get into the damn show. I know I derailed it from the jump.
Yeah, all right.
That stayed tapped in. I appreciate you. We said to get that Arch Manning bit in here just because, I mean, let's face it, guys, we're gonna be talking about him on this show for the next decade.
he'll be on the show eventually. He'll be on the walkthrough season three without a shadow of a doubt. And that's what we do. And we said before the show, before we hit record here in the stew on this beautiful day, that we were going to try to keep it under an hour, but we've just gone off the rails for 5 minutes. We hope you stuck around, but this is what you get with Cody and I. And that's why we're more than excited. We have a whole list of restaurants that we're having our wives cross check. I mean, we're gonna hang out in Charleston. We're very excited. So we were talking to Arch Manning. Now it's time to talk week three, big time slate, full slate, full breakdowns. And let's start with one of the worst games of the slate. So let's start there. I think it makes sense. The New York football Giants, the future led by Arch Manning football Giants. Well, we won't get there yet. Is at the Cleveland Browns, over under 39.5, which is a little bit higher than I would have expected, to be honest. And the Giants are road dogs by nearly a touchdown, coming in at 6.5 points. Malik Nabers, are you starting with utmost confidence? And how do you kind of see the Browns offense maybe getting better in week three against the Giants?
Road dog killers. That's what you just said. That's what came to my mind when you brought up the road dog. I don't know why you said that, but Giants at Browns. Yes. So I did the Circa show last night, Circa Millions cast on Roster Watch, and Can't Miss Mitch brings up, he goes, "Oh man, 6.5 points. I'm not sure the Browns can beat anybody by 6.5 points. And my brain goes, listen here, don't the Browns have one of the best defensive lines in football? Mm-hmm. Don't the Giants have one of the worst offensive lines in football?
Correct.
Isn't Denzel Ward still considered a top 10 cornerback in football?
Damn near, if not.
Isn't Malik Nabers the only weapon on this offense?
Depends on what you think of Wandale Robinson.
He's not a weapon. He's a player. He's not a weapon. The point being that the Browns are going to handle business here. And I do believe Malik Nabers gets those targets. We talked about this last week with the 18. I talked about this in the offseason with the Allen Robinson corollary, 151 targets, 80 receptions, 1,400 yards, and 14 touchdowns. I still think that that's going to be the season arc that we get out of Malik Nabers. It's some nuclear, just random maniacal stat line of this nature for Nabers. But this game against the Browns, I think, is a horrible matchup for the Giants. The Giants do have a good defensive line, but the Browns are getting their tackles back. So it's going to neutralize the Giants. I don't know if the Giants score in this game. If they do, it's going to be, you know, some Malik Nabers superstar type of a play or Daniel Jones big long run. I just don't know how the Giants score. I'm a little low on Nabers this week. I would say quite low on Nabers this week, based on, I think, what I generally would do with a Nabers, having him in the top 10. I'm a little low. I'm not touching anybody else in this Giants offense. We'll just put it that way. I'll just move on from there. I guess if you want to know exactly where I do have Nabers this week, as far as the wide receivers are aligned, I got him at wide receiver 15. But I'm probably going to end up with him somewhere around 21 or 22, I think, by the week's end. And that's going to be him dropping below the Devontas, the Zays, the Mike Evanses, and Jameson Williams of the world. And even, I think, probably Calvin Ridley. Thoughts on the Giants side there?
No, it's funny. When you started saying you're really low on him, I was like, man, maybe I'm too high on him. I started looking at it, thinking about it. I'm at 13 right now, and I was kind of looking at it with a trajectory of potentially settling after Zay Flowers around the Chris Olave, around 17. But I will say this in terms of, you know, in some of our redraft leagues, the people that I speak to, Cody, my people, listen, the seasonal folk, they were able to get Malik Nabers as your wide receiver 3 as a flex play. So Malik Nabers starting, not starting, is a little bit of a decision for some of the season league plays because of where he was going. And this is what I want. These are the people I want to speak to, because his down game, we all think that's his floor, right? 7-ish targets, 5 receptions, 50 to 60 yards, 65, 70 yards, something in that range, right? So he went 5 for 66 in his floor game. You also have to factor in a touchdown every single time this guy's on the field. So the high end of it is, you know, 11.6 and then the 6-point touch, around 17 fantasy points. So I'm not going to get too nervous to play him, but I do agree with you that he's, after last week, you think he should be a 7 or 8 ranking. And I got him at 13. And I do think he will end up coming behind Adams in that Chris Olave range, 17, 18. So I'm with you on that. In terms of the Browns, though, I am fading until I'm told elsewhere, because even last week I had a lot of faith in Jerome Ford being a top 20 play. He threw out a dud, so I got him outside of my top 20 this week. Amari Cooper, I have him outside of my top 30 this week. Are you on the same boat when it comes to these Browns? Is it just kind of like caca doo-doo Browns? I'm not playing these guys.
I'm just staying away from the Browns in totality. I actually moved Judy ahead of Amari Cooper as my, you know, higher ranked Brown wide receiver. I got him at 31, Cooper at 40. I mean, the targets are going to be there. I just don't know what that looks like from a positive standpoint. I do like Deontay Banks on the Giants side in the back end covering these guys. I think they're fine. I just don't, again, like you said, I think we just need to see it, or we need to see Jameis Winston enter this game and be of conversation. Jordan Akins, I think, is a viable player. He's got a top 10 matchup on the Roster Watch matchup tool against the New York Giants. Again, I'm not bullish on him. Like, I have met like tight end 21. You know, there's other guys that have tougher matchups that I still probably play. I'd still probably play Ertz. I still probably play Parkinson. Brenton Strange, if Evan Ingram doesn't go, I have him four or five spots ahead of Jordan Akins. So, you know, Akins is going to be out there. He's averaged four fantasy points per game, 2.5 targets per game, which is like nil, but we're literally talking about the tight end position right now. And the tight end position in totality of fantasy football, there's a whopping six players that have averaged 10 fantasy points per game through the first two games.
Bears travel to Indy and are getting 1.5 on the road. Over under of 43.5 seems high given the way that these teams have played so far in this matchup. Are you excited about anyone on any side when it comes to these fantasy players? Who are you overly excited about, if anyone?
51% of the bets and 77% of the money is on the Bears in this game. Like you said, it's like a 1-point spread, so it's more of a pick 'em than anything. I kind of, in general, as far as betting the game, I want to stay away from it completely. As far as the talent in the game, I am going to kind of sit on my hands as far as... I mean, I think everybody in the world, and this is the art of island games, everybody in the world saw the disconnect between Caleb Williams and DJ Moore and how upset DJ Moore was during that football game on Sunday night. And that was what I came away from the Buffalo Bills training camp basically saying was the problem with Josh Allen and Keon Coleman. The difference is Keon Coleman came out, went 4 for 40 the first game. The DJ Moore thing, like the targets are there. But there's something wrong. Like, you know, there's something wrong. I don't know if it's with Caleb or I don't know if it's with route running with DJ. I find myself putting DJ back in the bucket here. Wide receiver 10. It's a top 10 matchup against the Colts. I find myself very high on DJ again. I hesitate it wholeheartedly. But I think you just have to continue to ride that wave. Roma Dunze, his dad posted a video today of him being wide open in the end zone on a slant. He posted that up on Twitter. Who's the dad that did that a couple years ago? Do you remember?
It was Odell Beckham's dad.
Odell Beckham, good call. And so listen, I don't know if Roma's Odell Beckham, but I do think he's showing some of Amon-Ra St. Brown tendencies in his dog ability that we saw at the combine and with him playing this past week. So I love that. We'll see what happens with Keenan Allen. DeAndre Swift is another one, Maddie. This is the conversation I wanted to ask you. Was strictly based around DeAndre Swift, because Cole Kmet, I think, still, it's like he's kind of in that Jordan Akins bucket. So I want to talk about running back with DeAndre Swift. Swift is a guy that on paper against the Colts, who have given up 150 each of the first 2 weeks, you're like, shit, let's throw Swift in there, right?
Yeah.
Swift should be a top six option, but he's averaging 14 touches per game. He's averaging 6 fantasy points per game, just 3 targets. This is an indoor game. We like this. We like how the script is probably going to fall, but they haven't been shown to lean into DeAndre Swift from this perspective. What do you see?
So in breaking down this game, I think it's super important to look at that running attack or lack thereof for the Bears. And this game, I think, is very pivotal for our expectations of year one of Caleb Williams. And what I mean by that is, if Shane Waldron and Eberflus have the wit to establish not only the running game, but a power running game, whether it be with Swift, Herbert, or Roschon Johnson, either way, this game is going to be imperative in terms of the entire production of this offense. The competency of a franchise is what I'm questioning here. If Shane Waldron doesn't come out and hashtag establish it against these Colts, who are giving up 237 rushing yards per game, the most in the NFL with a fucking bullet. 5.1 yards per carry. They've given up 15 runs of 10 or more yards, the most in the NFL. This is the team you run it against, and you help Caleb Williams establish some confidence, allow him to slow the game down, hand the ball off to all three running backs a ton and work play action, because what they've done now is they've forced Caleb to pass over and over and over, and he's running for his life already. He's and you start hearing the, you know, the Sam Darnold words from Monday Night. I'm seeing ghosts out there. I'm seeing ghosts. And you just don't want these for these young quarterbacks, especially ones we have high hopes on for in fantasy, because their development is what matters. This is the reason why, oh, we're getting late breakouts from Baker Mayfield and Geno Smith, and now Sam Darnold potentially, is because they find the right situation. We don't want to have to wait for that for these young quarterbacks. We want to be able to happen immediately, and this is going to be a big game for that. So I have high hopes for DeAndre Swift. I'm a little bit more down on DJ Moore than you are. I'm at 18, still a for sure start in fantasy. But this is the game where they have to come out and run the football. They have to use their defense the right way, as opposed to asking your defense to win the game. Ask your defense to control the game as you're running the attack. Remember, they have one touchdown on the year. This offense has one single touchdown. That was when they pounded it in from like the two or the one with Khalil Herbert. They got to establish that run. A lot of time. I mean, this should be a game very reminiscent. If Shane Waldron is worth a shit in the NFL, this game needs to look like DeAndre Swift's 2023 week two or three against the Vikings Thursday Night Football, where the Eagles just ran it and ran it and ran it. 20 something carries, 150 something yards. This has to be the game for that, for the success of this offense as a whole. So there's a lot going into this game. I'm pounding the under because I think if they are successful, we see a 20-13 victory. So I'm pounding the under in this game. I do like the Bears to win. I love their defense. Their defense is definitely for real. On the Colts side of things, though, I'm still kind of tempering my expectations on a guy like Michael Pittman. I have him as a start, but he's outside of my top 20. I like JT. Don't love JT. Got him at what running back 16. And then I do have Richardson inside my top 10, because if you're that athletic, you can never have a guy like Richardson outside of the top 10. Where do you have him this week, actually? Let me ask you that, my friend.
I have Taylor running back 1.
What do you have, Richardson?
I have Richardson quarterback 6.
Okay, so we're in the lockstep, but let's talk about JT real quick before we move on to the next game, because we have a big discrepancy there. I have him at 16, you have him at 1. You expect just a lot of rush attempts?
I expect this team to get back to what they need to do. Last week, we saw this guy absolutely crush and not be given the carries. And this team's 0-2. They just got their brakes ran off against them. The next three games, they play Chicago, Steelers, and Jags. Three teams you should be able to run against. It's going to be tougher to pass against. And that's what we know Richardson kind of can't do right now. He threw for 48% this last week. Like I said, Taylor had 12 carries for 103, four targets, 2 for 32 in the air. You go back to week one, Richardson was 9 for 19. Again, another 48% completion percentage rate. He did have the big balls, the big throws, not the big balls. He might have big balls, I don't know, but he had big throws at least. Pause, no Diddy. But I think they just need to realize, like, all right, we're 0-2. 16 carries in week one for Taylor wasn't enough. We're 0-2. 12 carries in week two was not enough for Jonathan Taylor. Week three, we're home. We got the reeling Bears. Run the fuck out of the football. And I think that that's exactly where I'm leaning right here. They need to kind of, I don't know whether they need to protect Richardson per se, but they need to definitely establish this run. And they need to keep their defense off the field. They need that's to keep, correct. You know, they need to keep this defense off the field. This defense has been getting fucking shit on the last, like, there's fewer defenses in football right now. The Jets are getting banged up. The Colts are horrendous. Anybody the Saints play, but like, the Colts are one of the worst defenses in football right now from a, you know, allowing people to just run rough shop on them. Of course, Carolina's up in that conversation too, but
oh yeah, Washington.
I have a hard time not believing that this team, again, they could do the wrong thing, but I just kind of tend to trust Steichen a little bit. So I got him as RB1 right now. Kamara's right behind him. Brees is on his heels. I wish I had more carry. If I had more opportunities guaranteed for Brees, I think I'd put Brees one, but I just don't have the carries guaranteed because of our boy Braylon Allen. But yeah, I'm just going to roll with Taylor right now. I don't think it's a clear one though this week. Like normally we of course have McCaffrey, but there's no clear, you know, you can make a case for a lot of these guys.
Oh yeah. This is shaping up to be a pretty nice running back week. Given some of the matchups and some of the tendencies and trends we're seeing. So you got me to move him up. I'll give you that. You got me to move him up a little bit, my friend. I moved him up my ranks. I put him up to 11, right after ETN.
Holy fuck.
After the pass catchers, guys who catch passes. So he could go as high as six. He could go as high as six. I'll say that. All right, let's keep it going. The Houston Texans are heading to the Minnesota Vikings, your old neck of the woods, and taking on the Minnesota Vikings. The Texans are giving up 2 points as road favorites. Over-under of 46 seems pretty razor. Seems a little throwbacky too. Let me ask you about that over-under. Let's start there because I want to, before we dive into each player's, 46 points, higher end of the top half, I mean the lower half, but it's still upper part of the half of the slate. Do you expect points? Because the Texans have not been really in all that many shootouts 2 weeks in.
Yeah, they haven't been in any shootouts, and both teams have been playing some pretty good defense. So again, the Vikings just beat San Francisco at home. I don't think it was like one of those games where it was like a too high of a high because it was a grinder of a game.
Mm-hmm.
I think they stayed in the pocket. Darnold, talking about staying in the pocket, like Darnold is about as dialed as you can get right now. Stroud looks very good. The problem I have is if Minnesota is going to be able to cover these guys. I've been questioning their back end all year. They've stood up to it. I don't know if you've seen the clips that have gone around about this defense and how Brian Flores has been manipulating it with his cover zero scheme and then dropping guys hella deep from the line of scrimmage. I'm not sure that strategy type works. That strategy works against, the Houston Texans with these three receivers. You also have the Stephon Diggs factor back in Minnesota for the first time since the miracle.
Oh, no kidding. So
that's maybe not since the miracle, but you get the point, right? He played the next year, but his first game back in Minnesota, they got a tough stretch here. They played, they got the first one out of the way. I think if you would have pulled Viking fans and said, hey, you're going into the bye, and you get to go 2-3 in the first five weeks against the Giants, Niners, Texans, Packers, and Jets. If you said 2-3, they would say, deal. And they're already 2-0. Right. Mm-hmm. And so they had Houston this weekend at the Packers, and they traveled to London or Germany or wherever the fuck that game's at against the Jets. But big games. And if Sam Darnold, I just tend to lean into Sam Darnold. And the thing is for fantasy, it's like, I don't know how hard you can lean as far as fantasy goes into a guy like Darnold, because in Superflex, you're just in the corner, just beating your stick. If you have Sam Darnold on your roster, but if you're in like one QB, he's like borderline, you can't really do anything with him. Right. He's like, I got him at QB 21 this week. It's a tougher matchup. You look at what he's done the last few weeks. He's averaging 17 fantasy points per game, which is like, let me look at this here. Top half, his 10th overall right now. He's QB 10 in fantasy points per game. So it's like, I don't know. Can you trust him? Can you do it? I don't know. But feel good about the Vikings. Feel good about this game probably not being too high a scoring because of the defensive play here. 71% of the bets are on the Vikings. And I'm going to say that backwards. Sorry, 55% of the bets are on the Texans. 71% of the money is on the Vikings. So the sharper edge or sharper lean is to the Vikings in the game.
I like the under. You get -108 as opposed to -112. So you get a little bit of juice in comparison. So I like the under. And I like Vikings money line because there is a tad bit of juice +114 at DraftKings. So I do like the Vikings to win this game. It's going to come down to the Vikings stopping the run and running the football. I know it sounds lame, but that's how they're going to win because I agree that their coverage looks good. Like on PFF, like their coverage grade is 6th in the league. But that's kind of, I think, schemed up. I don't know if it's a matchup-reliant kind of evaluation. So I do think Stroud has a chance to throw the ball. I think this is a good football game. I think it's a fake shootout. I think we see two good offenses indoors. We're assuming shootout. I think it's a fake shootout. I think it's a better football game, a better chess match than it is. But you're starting Jefferson. You're starting Stroud. You're starting Dell, Nico, Steph. the whole thing. But I need to ask you this. If Mixon is out, is there a running back that we want to play? And if absolutely we need one from this game, who is it?
Cam Akers is making his return to Minnesota.
There was, that's true. He had a brief stint in Minnesota.
He tore his shit up. He tore his Achilles last year in Minnesota on that turf.
Oh, intrigue. So
that just literally entered my mind. That
Achilles revenge game. We have the Stephon Diggs revenge game. Now we have the Achilles revenge game.
Let me double check that. Because that
ghost of Cam Akers' Achilles will haunt him at Bank of America. What is it called? U.S. Bank Stadium.
Wait. So he literally, I thought I remembered this wrong. I guess I'm right, though. Well, I'm wrong in the sense that he got hurt at Atlanta. I thought it was in Minnesota against Atlanta, but I'm wrong. It's a turf field nonetheless.
Yeah.
November 6th was his second Achilles tear of his career. And when you looked at him last week, you couldn't tell he came off an Achilles.
No, he looked explosive, about 5 yards to carry. So December, January, February, are you March. Excited for him? Are you going to play? If you're in a pinch, you're starting. Let me ask you two point blank period. Let's say you're in a league and you have Najee Harris and Jerome Ford as your running back 1 and 2. Starting Cam Akers.
Fuck that whole roster. How about that? Am I starting?
I'll tell my friend who has that roster.
Cam, where do I got him right now? I got to move him.
I'm not making a move until I know for show, for shizzle. I still got.
Where do you got Najee though? Somewhere. Where do you got Najee?
I got Najee at 23. It's only a matter of time. He's getting carries.
I got 33.
Yeah, I got him at 23. I think I'm in the top 24 play. Just sheer volume. But I do have Akers at 37. Mixon's ruled out. I could see Akers going into that Najee Harris, Zamir White, DeAndre Swift range, maybe Zach Charbonnet. That's kind of where I could see him. But are you playing with confidence? Are you happy about Akers before you move on?
If Mixon's out.
If he's out. If he's limited out, you're not taking. If he plays, you're not playing him.
If he plays, I'm not playing him. But if
what about Dameon Pierce? Does he have any effect to this decision?
I'm not playing Dameon Pierce. He doesn't work in the scheme. We've seen it fail and fail and fail. I'm just not doing it. I want him to go to somewhere. I want him to get on in a little PJ and fly 40 minutes north.
That would be
Dallas.
Okay, that would be interesting. Okay, let's keep moving to probably the most fun game on the slate from an NFL perspective. And now let's talk about the fantasy implications. The Philadelphia Eagles head down to Nolens and take on the 2-0 Saints. Saints are getting that respect because they are giving 2.5 points at home at the Caesars Superdome. Over under 49.5 is what to be expected. A lot of points being scored from the bad secondary of the Eagles. But now here's the question I need to ask you, my friend. Does the Eagles offense without A.J. Brown have the firepower to put a dent in this New Orleans Saints defense that's been pretty damn good?
I think so, but I'm not the most – can you hear that beeping?
No.
Okay, it's gone now. I'm not the most confident in Philadelphia right now for some reason. I love Devonta Smith. I think Devonta Smith's matchup this week against Alante Taylor strong. I think even if, you know, Marshawn Lattimore was hurt. Is he out?
He was out last week. I don't know. I don't even know. I don't think he practiced yesterday, but I don't know if he's out yet.
Okay, I was trying to think. Yeah, he returned to practice yesterday or today, 5 hours ago. Right. I'm assuming that would have been this morning. So if he's back, I mean, that's going to have a little bit of a deterrent on the outside. But Devonta's been playing predominantly in the slot. I don't know. It's Britton Covey and, you know, Jahan Dotson, as you would say, who we're not sure what Jahan is. He got targets. Covey got targets. Calcaterra got targets. Johnny Wilson should be out there. This game, I mean, without A.J. Brown, it definitely, I understand the Saints being 2.5 point favorites. 65% of the bets are on, I think I just said that wrong again. 67% of the bets, 65% of the money are both on the Saints.
Okay.
So, you know, it's kind of an even disperse. I really don't know what to make of the game in totality. As far as the players go, like I brought it before, I got Kamara running back 2 on the week. Feel really good about that. Our model has him running back 3. It's a top 10 matchup in totality. He's coming off of a nuclear game, you know, a vintage Kamara game. I would venture to bet he's still got enough gasoline in the tank based on just how he plays. He had 21 touches per game in the last two games, 4 targets per game. We haven't even really seen him get unleashed in the receiving game as much as we think he possibly can be. So, I mean, it's just really, what does the comeback down to earth thing look like for the Saints, right? They've had just, you know, the best, best possible start to a season you can possibly have is like, does this offense get stunted at all? But the way this Eagles defense is playing, I think the only player with a pressure through two games is Milton Williams, who got a sack last week. The OG athletic donkey at D tackle, one of the most athletic defensive linemen to ever come out of the draft, but nothing from the Georgia guys, nothing from the edge players. I just, the Eagles defense is sus to me right now. So as far as the game goes in totality, I like Kamara. Everyone's playing Barkley. When you look at wide receiver though, Maddie, Rashid Shaheed.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to know if they can play him. 18.6 fantasy points per game in PPR right now, and the guy's barely touching the ball. 4.5 targets a game. Where do you got him? I got him at wide receiver 24.
I'm with you. I got him at 21. You could play him. Absolutely worth playing.
I don't think that's a question of where he's playing, whether you're playing him or not.
Yeah, I can't anoint him as like a top 15, top 10 guy. But Derek Carr, you know, he's thrown 9 completions that's traveled 50 yards or more in the air. 7 of those have gone to Rashid Shaheed. That's on NFL Pro. So he's been super efficient. With these guys, though, water tends to find its level, and it feels like there has to be duds so that there could be good ones. And if this game, like if his week one happened in week one, but his week two happened in week 7, and there was a whole bunch of iffy in the middle, I think that'd be more in lock with who he is historically. So I am nervous to play him on a weekly basis. That's why he's my biggest sell. Yeah, you can check out my buy sell article at, you know, southharmonff.com. Now he is my sell of the week based on just not trusting 3 balls from half court going in 7 of 9 times. That's kind of what we're talking about here. But of course, with this offense, I mean, with this defense of the Eagles, a guy like Shaheed can do it for a third game in a row. So you can't completely discount the speed. Because last year's an interesting stat that I found on NFL Pro or pro.nfl.com. The Eagles defense has converted on just about 81% of their tackles, which would be third lowest. Another thing to just ring the bells for Alvin Kamara. I got him at 4. Love him this week.
Contact King.
He's awesome. So he's back right now. Let's hope he doesn't get hurt, because last time person we said that about was Cooper Kupp. Let's keep moving on. The Los Angeles Chargers head to the Pittsburgh Steelers. 36-point over-under sounds about right. A game that both coaches will be more than happy to win 10-13. The Chargers are getting 1.5 on the road. So basically a pick 'em. But are you happy to play anyone in this game?
I'll be right back. I'm going to go pick up a rock from my yard.
As Cody picks up a rock and watches the grass grow, we'll say, you're going to play some of the running backs. You just talk Najee Harris real quick. But other than that, let me just ask you about the 2 players, and then we'll move on. Quentin Johnston, George Pickens, are they a Spider-Man meme? Are you playing either one of them? Where do you have them ranked?
Quentin, for me, I'm back, by the way. I picked up a boulder, and I tried to throw it at my neighbor because I don't like him. So that's the competition we're looking at here. I think the Chargers-Steelers is a complete boulder fight. Not a rock fight, a boulder fight. 9-6 is my prediction here. 9-6 is my prediction here.
Nice.
Potentially 10-6 if the Chargers run the ball maybe like 64 times or something. We'll see. Quentin Johnston, got him at wide receiver 57. I'm not pivoting heavily into this thing quite yet. I mean, you're not going to get me with 1 week and just like shift the rankings and go, oh yeah, Quentin Johnston.
We're not shaking that tree yet. I'm with you. I'm with you.
Miss me with that action. Sure. George Pickens, I can't find him on this list.
I got Pickens at 26. Not all that pumped.
I got him back-to-back, sandwiched in between Brian Thomas and Tutu Atwell.
Woof. So big play guy. Boom bust. Big play guy. Quentin Johnston at 41. I'm with you. Just doesn't seem all exciting. 9-6 game seems
Here's the question I got for you. People love this J.K. Dobbins thing, right? We're 2 weeks into J.K. Dobbins. He looks, you know, like the Holy Grail. But does a game like this against a front like this, and now I'm turning into like the anti J.K. Dobbins guy, even though, hey, look at me. I'm ranking J.K. Dobbins higher than both Trashman and Alex this week and the model. Look at me. Here's the question, though. Is this a Gus Edwards game? Because we've seen them split touches down to the touch the first couple weeks. is this a Gus Edwards game where JK maybe doesn't have the efficiency and Gus is the banger. He gets in there. He's going to average 5.5 no matter what you do. And he's the one that bangs and bangs and bangs, ends up with, you know, 16 carries for 82 yards. And he gets the tuggy here. Again, that's very limited. That's like, you know, you're betting on between 8 and 14 fantasy points. So we're not talking about some high-end play, but you're talking about a deep flexer right here in Gus Edwards against the toughest run defense in football right now. But you also have the most dominant run game in football right now, meeting its force. Is Gus flexible? And do you think this is potentially a Gus game where the first two have been more Dobbins games?
No, I mean, I got Gus at 46, so I'm not even flexing him. The thing for me when it comes to Gus Edwards, until I know for sure that he has like the short down stuff roll, because we haven't really had the chance to see this type of game, so maybe this is where we figure it out. Maybe this is where we find out if Gus is a top 40 rest of the season running back, or is he going to be fit in the 50s? This might be the game. I'm still a little bit, I'm not saying I'm nervous about, you know, J.K. Dobbins, but I'm not going to completely anoint him, you know, top 10. I got him at 16 for the reasons you kind of spoke about. I am looking currently, maybe you can find it faster. Anytime touchdown, Gus Edwards. I want to see what the odds are on that. But anyway, when we get that, we'll bring it up. So stick around for that. But yeah,
I'm going to guess like it's probably going to be like plus 340.
I feel like it might be higher than that even, but we'll find that out. Let's keep moving. Let's keep the walking through Denver Broncos at Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are giving up 6.5 points at home favorites, over under 41. Should that get us worried about starting Tampa Bay Buccaneers this week? Because we're not starting any Broncos, right? We're not excited about any Bronco, but for the Buccaneers, 6.5 point favorite, over under 41. Doesn't that suggest a running game? But should we still start Baker, Godwin, Evans, given this hellfire attack that they've had 2 weeks in?
The odds right now for Gus to score a touchdown plus 265. So I was
wrong. Ew. So even they might think it might be I thought it'd be like in the fours.
Yeah, so did I. But Tampa and Denver, this is one of my favorite plays of the week, is Tampa minus 6.5. We saw in week one, Tampa was at home against Washington. They covered that number. I want to say it was 7.5. Maybe 6.5, but they covered at home against the rookie. And I've been talking about bets and money. And when you look at the bets, 95% of the bets are on Tampa outright. 82% of the money is on Tampa outright. This may be, and I can't use it, but in Survivor, I used Tampa as my Survivor in week one. This is going to be one of the, I think, probably heavily bet Survivors this week in those pools. Is Tampa at home against Denver, who doesn't really have a clear number one right now. It looks like Josh Reynolds. So I'm kind of staying away from everything in Denver, really in totality, the whole nine yards.
Including Javonte?
Running, wide receiver, Me too, hit end, the whole nine yards. Yeah, even Javonte. I mean, as much as we like Javonte, this thing just really, it just hasn't. I mean, I got him at 30. Alex has him at 30. The mod has him at 30. Trashman has him at 31.
I'm at 29.
20, really, there you go, right there.
Yeah.
The fantasy points has us at 12.5 touches, 7 fantasy points per game, 3 targets. Like, we're just not getting enough usage, and we're not getting any efficiency from Javonte right now. So, like I said, I'm just kind of hands off. He's right there with Najee in that bucket. I actually got Devin Singletary, who you know I don't love, ahead of both of those guys. This game, I think, is just a knockdown drag out. Tampa wins this one like 30-7. Something like this. You know, they get Rashad White going at some point in this one. Evans is matched up on Surtain. He teaches him a lesson or two. Godwin is just absolutely nucleotized with targets like he has been for the last, I don't know, what, couple, like, I mean, this is, I mean, I said this coming out of training camp, man. Godwin is a killer. I mean, the guy's, yeah,
he's shown it.
The guy's averaging 8.5 targets right now through the first couple games, which is like, what is this, tied for third in the NFL right now, tied for fourth in the NFL right now. So I like it.
I love Godwin as a top 10 play this week because the efficiency of the Buccaneers passing attack is going to be able to absolutely destroy the Buccaneers defense. I mean, the Broncos defense. And Mayfield so far this season leads the league in passing yards and touchdowns when targeting the slot receiver. Well, Godwin leads in the opposite, the receiving part of those categories because of how often they've been able to link up. And with Surtain all but shadowing Mike Evans. It's just going to open the door for a lot of Chris Godwin. I still like Evans. I have Evans at 11. I may end up sinking him down a little bit, but I'm just not in the mood of fading Mike Evans. I'm not in the mood to fade the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in week three, but the Broncos were full-fledged fading. This next game seems like another game we can breeze through. The Green Bay Packers are heading to the Tennessee Titans to play a game of an over-under of 38. The Packers right now are getting 2.5, but with the news that Jordan Love is practicing in pads, we could see that number fluctuate quickly. I just want to start there. What does Jordan Love playing mean for the pass catchers against the Titans?
Means everything. The Titans are good on the back, and they have L'Jarius Sneed. They're good. They're not great, but they're good. And everybody knows you can't run up the center on these guys. You got to run wide, and which works. I mean, Josh Jacobs can do that no problem. I kind of like Emmanuel Wilson as a deep flexor guy ahead of like a Gus Edwards. I'm talking deep, deep guys in that Gus Edwards conversation. I like Emmanuel Wilson ahead of him as a guy to get 12 touches and maybe bust one and end up with an 80-yard touchdown stat line. Because you're playing against Devondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons up that middle. Right. And I'm just not sure how that plan of attack works for Green Bay. So with Malik, I think the theory of playing Malik makes sense because it's like, oh, he's going back to Tennessee. He gets to make a point. The problem is this defense knows Malik better than anybody in football. And they know he ain't that rough. He ain't that great. And you know, Jeffrey Simmons was asked about him and he's asked about this Packers thing. And he's like, you know, when I came to Tennessee back in the day, I was learning that ain't nobody run the ball on the Tennessee Titans. Now they got Tavondre and they know ain't nobody gonna run the ball. And they talked about Malik Willis about how the Packers protected him last week. They protected Malik. Like, doesn't seem like a great thing to say, but he's truthing. Like, he's being honest. Like, they protected him. Everybody knows they protected him. He threw the ball 12 times. He's very efficient with it. I would not be surprised if we got a bait switch the last minute. And a lot of people are expecting Malik. The big reporters and Shefty and stuff reported, you know, Love was going to be out multiple weeks. The footage we saw yesterday of Jordan Love at practice doing the little, you know, the line jumps over back and forth.
Yep.
That knee looks fine to me. Like, I'm not him. He's not me. I don't know what that knee feels like. I've had an MCL sprain when I was in high school. That sucked, but I also had a dislocated kneecap with it. Took me 4 weeks to come back, 6 weeks to really feel 100%. Again, he's got a sprain. I don't know, but I do know he's got the best doctors in the world working with him. And this team is in a good spot right now, and they're playing against a pretty nothing to lose Tennessee Titan team. These guys have been getting dogged the last couple of weeks because of Will Levis's play, because they've gotten beat by
Will Favre, baby, Will Favre.
Literally Will Favre here. They've gotten beat by the Bears and Jets, both 24-17, two games that they should have really honestly won. They got up 17 rip against the Bears. The last week game against the Jets, you could also made an argument that they should have won that football game. It was 17-17, you know, for the majority of the third and fourth quarter. So this team's, you know, I don't want to say they're reeling, but they, I mean, they're kind of reeling. So I wouldn't be surprised if we got a bait switch at the last minute. We get Love in here. And when you look at these numbers, 38 total, 2.5-point dog. If something happens, this line's going to switch and it's going to be like 3, maybe 4 in favor of the Packers. And that total is going to jump up to like 44. So I think you just game plan. You'll talk about this on Sunday morning on the game plan live on YouTube, on the South Harmon YouTube channel. I think you just game plan to kind of play your guys on both sides, whether that's Tony Pollard. I'm fine with Calvin Ridley. You're not touching Chig this week, of course. You never touching Chig, really. On the Packers side, though, you're playing everybody. You're playing Jacobs. I think you're playing Dobbs. The tight end position is so busted. You just kind of, if you got one of these guys, do what you got to do. But if you can go somewhere else, go somewhere else. And then at quarterback, if Love plays, you play Love.
I'm going to definitely sprinkle a little some coin, some shillings to get some points with the Packers in case there is a bait and switch, because I also think they can win with Malik Willis in the revenge game. Revenge game.
It's the same thing as last week. They got the better roster. They should never be close. Course. Like
they can run the shit out of the ball. It won't be an efficient game for Jacobs, but it could be 33 for 101 in a TUD. And kind of grind this game out. So I'm putting some shillings on the points that the Packers are getting points. And also right now on DraftKings, you can get a little bit of juice, plus 114 for an outright win. So I'm going to try to do that now before the bait and switch happens. The bait and switch has already happened in Carolina. Bryce Young benched. Rumors are swirling that Cam Newton may be brought back to Carolina. Who the hell knows? Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle, is taking over for the Panthers. We're not playing a single Carolina Panther. But what about these Raiders? Because the Panthers are going out to Vegas. They're 5-point dogs, over-under of 40. The Raiders coming off a big win in Baltimore. Are we going back to the Bowers, back to the Adams well? And what are you doing with Gardner Minshew in two QB leagues?
I'm not playing Minshew. I mean, he's got a great matchup, but I'd rather play Darnold. Yeah, I mean, I got Minshew at 28. I'd rather play Darnold. I mean, I think
I'd rather play Darnold too.
I respect Minshew, but I mean, we've seen the rug pulled from Minshew before. As far as this game goes, Maddie, I kind of want to move on. I literally just want to say this two things. Davante Adams is a killer. He's going to get targets. We'll see how efficient that looks. I got him at wide receiver 4. Brock Bowers, most efficient tight end in rookie history. Tight end 5. Might as well be wide receiver 5 at this rate, but tight end 5.
You mean Mario Mushroom, Hunter Renfrow, Brock Bowers?
He's literally tight end 2.
Yeah, I got him at tight end 3, and he's basically tied with Isaiah Likely in fantasy points.
Yeah.
And has done it in a better fashion.
He's got the most targets.
Points.
He's got the most targets in football right now at tight end.
Most receiving yards at the position, I believe, too. He's awesome. I got him at tight end 3. I love Bowers. Love Bowers this week. But we can move on. I agree. That matchup kind of smells. Let's move on to the Miami Dolphins heading to the Pacific Northwest to take on the Seattle Super Seahawks. The Dolphins are getting 4.5 points on the road. Over under of 41.5 is directly affected by no Tua Tagovailoa. Skylar Thompson is the new QB, and I said it with a question mark because you've brought up Snoop before. So what do we expect from these Dolphins pass catchers with a new quarterback? And then you could parlay that and what do you expect out of this. Actually, we'll take a quick pause on the Seahawks. I have a specific question to ask, but Dolphins pass catching hierarchy, like, what do we expect from these guys?
I expect the ball to stay near the line of scrimmage. I expect Janu to honestly be kind of, you know, a piece. I don't know to what dynamic that is, but I got him as a top 20 play at tight end ahead of the Akins Komets that I talked about earlier. Probably might bump him up a couple spots. We'll see how the news comes out of the Rams and Jaguars this week. At wide receiver, I think it stays Tyreek for what it is. I put Tyreek right there at wide receiver 9, which is low. I would venture to bet. I don't look at anybody else's rankings. I talk to you. I talk to Alex. That's it. I don't read anybody rankings, but I would assume 9 is low at the wide receiver position. As far as Jalen Waddle goes, I think he's still a play, but I definitely have him lower, a wide receiver 32 this week. I'm not sure quite how the whole thing kind of unravels itself. Running back's kind of my biggest question, though. I put Devon Achane at running back 7 because I would bet that they lean on the run here. But I don't know. I don't know how much they want to run the football against Seattle. I mean, Byron Murphy's been fantastic on the interior there. The Seattle defense is respectable. They're traveling across country. You think on the road you want to establish the run to a certain extent. They're 4.5-point dogs. I do think Seattle, you know, doesn't mop the floor, but they take care of business here and they apply pressure to Skylar Thompson. So I am worried about the Tyreek conversation. You know, I got a message from one of our patrons that asked, and you know, we drafted a team with him, and he says, he's got a roster. He's got Neighbors, Harrison Jr., Jameson, and Tyreek Hill. And he's like, should I bench Tyreek Hill and play Neighbors, Marvin, and Jameson and just bench Tyreek Hill? And I venture to really just say, well, to me, it comes down to Neighbors and Tyreek. And Neighbors gets the Denzel Ward treatment. But I think I think I can bet on Malik being good enough. We know the connection he has with Daniel Jones or lack thereof. But I don't think Skylar Thompson is good at all. So I kind of ventured to just say, yeah, bench Tyreek and make him prove it. But it's Tyreek Hill. And it's like, the problem is that, Maddie, when you say bench Tyreek Hill, you also cannot have the same conversation, I don't think, in your head and say, well, Tyreek could beat you for 50. Because he can't. He can't beat you for 50 with Skylar Thompson. He just can't.
No, but Skylar Thompson does hyper-focus on Tyreek. He gets a pretty hyper-inflation in terms of target share with Thompson. It's just not as effective. That's why I have him at wide receiver 7. So I'm in pretty close range with you this week in terms of his usage for the Miami Dolphins. I do want to talk real quick about one other player in the Dolphins offense, Devon Achane. Achane so far this season has 15 missed tackles this year. That's second most amongst all ball carriers in the NFL. But my outlook on A-Chain was always a fade based on his ability to stay healthy. And I'll say this. After you listen to this pod, go into week three. If you roster A-Chain and he goes berserk again, has another huge game, he's going to be knocking on the Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson door. Okay.
In what, Dynasty?
No. In just value. In okay. Redraft value. Even Dynasty value. He will be knocking on the door. At that point, you hit the eject button and you sell. Yeah. You sell. Because right now, I have him at running back 5. I mean, you can move A-Chain comfortably right now for Jahmyr Gibbs, right? Right. In most markets.
Probably.
Most markets, you could probably unload A-Chain for Gibbs probably pretty damn easily, right? And so that the next step from there is your Breece Hall and your Bijan Robinson. And the second you're knocking on that door, that is when you hit the eject button. Because I still feel the exact same way about him. He's 5'8", 185 pounds. Yeah, he's awesome. He's absolutely electric. In the 7 targets he's getting a game is berserko. Truly sicko shit. If you had even an inkling about his health coming into the season, that should not have changed one iota because he's still the same size. And he's being used more than we ever thought he'd be. So it's only a matter of time. So if you're knocking on that door, and he is damn near knocking on that door, that's when you make the sell and you move up. But other than that, I'm going to keep riding until the wheels fall off because the fantasy reduction is so juicy, and I think it will be in this one. The difference between week one and week two for the Seattle Seahawks was crazy. Night, day. It was all Tyler Lockett in week one, 0 Tyler Lockett, and all DK Metcalf and JSN in week two. What does week three look like for the pass catchers in Seattle, Cody?
I mean, we're going to get that vaunted DK Ramsey matchup that we love. I mean, I just love watching these guys. You know, you turn on the All-22 and it's literally just DK and Jalen Ramsey. And I know Ramsey's lost a step, but he got that contract a couple weeks ago, and he kind of looks like he's got a little bit of rejuvenation in his step. I think it goes back to JSN. I think we get the double back. As far as my rankings with JSN, I'm not overly bullish on it, but let's see, where do I got him exactly? Alex is in here editing the rankings, and so he's just like reshifting the page. Like, I'm looking at one spot where I have my rankings made, and then all of a sudden the whole page flips. I got JSN 25th. So right on the edge of wide receiver 2 territory. And I think you could make a real argument, you know, Calvin Ridley, I got at 20. Metcalf's at 21. Rashid Raheed's at 24. I feel like you could make an argument to put him over all those guys, make him a top 20 play.
Buddy, my pal, tell me. In South Carolina in a month.
Tell me that the people that stayed true to their dynasty wide receiver ranking of Jackson Smith and Jigba, tell me that the people that stayed true to their analysis of the great Jackson Smith and Jigba from the university or the Ohio State University, however the hell those Jabberwockies say it in Ohio. Tell me the people that stayed true to that top 10 dynasty ranking at wide receiver for Jackson Smith and Jigba are about to smile when they hear this ranking from Matty Kiwum.
Wide receiver 21 for me in week 3.
Well, that was a little less gas than I thought. A little less than I warmed up. But I like
Yeah, it. Well, you hyped it up without even knowing. You're the one that hyped it up. That's not my fault. But let the record show. That was not my fault. But, I mean, he is now in the range of Brandon Ayuk for me. He's only a couple spots behind DK Metcalf. And what I will learn from this game, and a takeaway that I'm already looking forward to, might be the homework for this week's game plan, tune in on Sunday morning, 9 a.m., is if Jackson Smith and Jigba returns, you know, production, does well, he is targeted, and DK Metcalf has an game because he's going against Ramsey, well, then I know everything I need to. It's JSN's going to be the highest-ranked receiver on a weekly basis for this team, because if DK is going to be where we've had DK ranked for the last couple of seasons, which is anywhere from wide receiver 15 to 20, right? Well, give me the guy that's going to have the 7 targets when the other guy's smothered out. Give me the guy who's going to have multiple weeks. We could easily look back on the 2024 season and JSN having a breakout season and be like, remember week one? Remember how silly it was in week one? Remember how fucked we all were when we threw away our JSN shares because of week one? And then he goes on for a year or two breakout and it's like, oh, duh. This is how it goes. We're seeing that in Baltimore with Zay Flowers. And we'll talk about him in a second. Real quick, before we move on, looks like we're not going to get Kenneth Walker for a second straight week. Where do you have Zach Charbonnet?
I mean, this is the thing, right? This is the thing. He missed 2.5 games last year. He's going to miss 2.5 games this year. Zach Charbonnet,
did not. I mean, I don't want to. I don't know if I want to say this out loud.
You got to know. You're in
public eye. Is Zach Charbonnet? Because this would make my pre-draft take right on fading Zach Charbonnet. So people that can't listen, can't watch this because nobody can. This is podcast only. I'm like, I think I'm
He's cringing. His face having, like, is making weird faces.
I think I'm going to have
a horror movie.
I think I'm going to have an internal hernia and like probably be out this week with an abdominal injury. Is Zach Charbonnet? Is he AJ Dillon?
Yeah, he is.
Is he AJ Dillon?
He is. Yeah, he's AJ Dillon, but here's what makes him different. You can't take away his pass catching prowess. He is a good pass catcher, right?
Yeah, but he's
here's the real question. Here's what's really gonna bend your noodle. His range of outcomes, his range of comparable players, in my opinion, is AJ Dillon on the downside. And if he were to be the starter rest of season, he has Rashad White upside. Rashad White can't run.
Oh, bullshit.
Rashad White can't run the ball at all. He sucks at running the football. He gets it all in the passing game. We've seen Charbonnet with a deep touchdown reception. We've seen him get, what was it, 3 for 30-something last week. He scores a short touchdown. And that's really more of an indictment on Rashad White's ability than it is a praise of Charbonnet's. But if you were to tell me that Kenneth Walker's done and dusted in 2024, I think Charbonnet becomes like a top 15 running back rest of the season. This week, though, I am still a little skeptical. I have him at 26. If Walker is ruled out, he'll probably go to like 19, 20. So I still won't have him above the Brian Robinson, the Ramondre Stevensons. But yeah, Zach Charbonnet is a bit polarizing. And all I can say is, football gods, don't make me make that call. Bring back Kenneth Walker and relegate Charbonnet to the 100% AJ Dillon role. Let's move on to the most fun game on the slate. The best game on the slate projection-wise for fantasy. The 1-1 Detroit Motor City Kitties head out west to take on the Arizona Cardinals, who are also 1-1. The Lions are giving up 4.5 as road favorites. The over-under of 451.5 is the highest on the slate. We're firing everybody up. We're excited to play all of our players, but what are your expectations? Where do you have some of these guys ranked?
We're firing everybody up, man. We're firing up. We're firing up. Wait. Sorry, my brain just went empty. This is Cardinals Lions, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I was looking at one thing. I heard another thing. Lions Cardinals. You're firing everybody. You're firing Marv. You're firing James Conner. James Conner looks like peak James Conner. Kyler Murray looks like MVP conversation. Kyler Murray. If I had to put money on two players right now, and I would lose money on them, guaranteed. But if I was going to put money and say, these two, you know what? I'm going to rephrase this. If I was going to vote on MVPs through the first 2 weeks, it'd be Kyler Murray and Derek Carr. They look like MVP players right now. Kyler looks better than he's ever looked in the NFL, in my opinion. Derek Carr looks fantastic. I think the way Kyler's playing right now, you kind of just have to play everything attached. McBride, Harrison. I mean, you can tell yourself a story about Dortch or Mike Wilson. I think one of them is going to be valuable each and every week. You're just going to be figuring out which one's which.
Yeah.
The running game is going to be the running game. They love Amari DiMercato. I think a deep, 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 deep donkey in Dynasty is Elijah Higgins. Elijah Higgins is
he's not dead.
He's a guy that they like. And if something were to happen to Trey McBride, I don't think it would be Tip Ryman. I think it would be Elijah Higgins because of the hyper-athleticism that Higgins brings. He was in Miami, I think it was last year. So I think that's just a deep, deep donkey take here. That's your undercovered op of the week. At the tight end position. And then on the other side for Detroit, I mean, line them up, knock them down. J-Mo, Amon-Ra, Laporta, Gibbs, Montgomery, Goff. And you know who I liked in Detroit last week and I thought looked fantastic was Tim fucking Patrick.
Oh, yeah. He fits that team real well.
Dude, absolutely. He looks perfect. He is perfect for this offense. I think he's going to establish himself as the three. He looks perfect. I mean, he looks like, I know he's wearing 17, but he looks like the old Mike Williams,
the OG Mike Williams.
So yeah, I love everything about this game.
That's your deep play for DFS right there. But yeah, you look at the top of my rankings, you see Kyler Murray at 2, Gibbs at 6 with Connor at 15, both, you know, great plays. Harrison in top 12, Amon-Ra at 4, Jameson Williams at 15. This game is going to be fun. It's going to be a shootout. And maybe this is a gut feeling. I don't have any stats to back this, and shame on me for not, but feels like to me the Cardinals don't disappoint in this department. They don't disappoint. They do not disappoint when it comes to having fantasy games and then allowing their opponents to have fantasy bonanzas. This feels right. I will say the sharp call, the sharp take for me in this game is getting that juice plus 124 money line on the home Cardinals on DraftKings. I'm going to lay some shillings on that because I like what this team's doing. And you, credit to you, in this offseason had got, I got a few little tickets that say Arizona Cardinals NFC West winners for crazy odds, obviously 1300, I think at the time. So I like the Cardinals, but yeah, not much to say. You're firing everybody up. You're excited for fantasy for this game, probably in the fantasy game of the week. But another contender for potential fantasy game of the week, the Baltimore Ravens head to Jerry's World and take on the Dallas Cowboys. Basically a pick 'em. Cowboys are getting 1 point at home, but the over-under 48 suggests a fantasy showdown. How do you see this game playing out? Who do you like? Who don't you like in this matchup?
You're playing everybody in this game. I mean, I know this is like something, you know, we say sometimes about a lot of these matchups. Yeah, you're playing everybody, but you're playing Dak, you're playing Lamb. Maybe you're playing Tolbert. Maybe you're running it back if Ferguson's banged up going in. But if Ferguson's back, you're playing Ferguson. Mm-hmm. On the Ravens side, you're playing Lamar. You're playing Zay. You're playing Andrews. You're playing Likely. And you're not touching Derrick Henry.
Ooh, where do you have Henry ranked? Where do you have Henry ranked?
Henry, I mean, we talked about this on the hurdle this week. I want to play him so bad. But I respect the front in Dallas, and I don't get it. I don't get this whole thing. And maybe I'll get cucked here with this thing, but I got Derrick Henry at 21, and it hurts my dick to say it. You know, I don't know what to do. Where do you got Henry?
I got Henry at 14, but I'll give everyone listening to the walkthrough a little bonus, a little sneak peek at the game plan. My bold take of the week is that he's a top five finisher this week against the Cowboys.
God damn it.
The Cowboys' run defense is not good. They've given up the most rushing touchdowns on the season so far with 5. And the Ravens need to make changes. They can't attack opposing defenses the way they have the first 2 weeks because they're 0-2. They're going to change things. But having said that, I still love Zay Flowers. I have him at 16. The targets have been chef's kiss. They've been muy bueno, just beautiful, bonita, gorgeous. We love it. So we love Zay Flowers. And then I back you up. I'm playing all the guys that you mentioned as well. So we like this game in the 4 o'clock slate. Should be a fun one for fantasy football. Last game on Sunday, because remember, we have 3 primetime games this week starting on Sunday. We have 1 Sunday and 2 Monday. So the last Sunday game, the San Francisco 49ers head down south to the Los Angeles Rams, a divisional matchup. Touchdown favorites are the 49ers with an over-under of 44. I'll say this. I am smashing the under in this game in what I think is going to be horrible for fantasy. Do you agree? And if you don't, who do you like in this game?
Then this is the one that everybody wants to know about, right? This is the one where you added Tyler Johnson. I added him last week. You added Jordan Whittington. I might have added him last week. You're out here playing DeMarcus Robinson, which is probably the best play on the Rams side of the football is DeMarcus Robinson this week. Have him at wide receiver 30, top 10 matchup. I like him. I like him. I mean, wide receiver 30, and you say I like him. It's like, what? But I do. At tight end, Colby Parkinson. I talked about him in the same bunch of Jonnu and Jordan Akins and Brenton Strange and
Cole Kmet.
Parkinson's got a tough matchup technically against the Niners. But Parkinson, you know, he's getting the ball in his direction. He's got 3.5 targets per game the first 2 weeks, only, you know, 5.5 fantasy points per game, which is, you know, doggy shit water. But it's just a tight end position. So if targets got to go somewhere, and so that's kind of where I'm leaning. You look at the running back situation up there. I put Kyren at running back 12. I feel like that's probably rather low. You look at the quarterback situation between these two guys. Brock he's got a good matchup, but the weaponry, I think I lean on the weaponry more for Brock. And so I'm going to have him ahead of Stafford in the end. Stafford, I got down at 17. Brock, I have at 12. Brock has Ayuk, and I just have to hope that with Debo and McCaffrey out, Ayuk has finally caught up. Like the first 2 weeks, I get it. A third week, I start to worry. I think this third week is the Ayuk kind of opportunistic, you know, target hog week. Kittle's going to get his action too, but I think this is finally maybe the time that we see Ayuk kind of pop his head through. I got him as wide receiver 12 this week, which feels like I may be potentially going to be on an island with that. I'd love to hear where you have him. Jordan Mason, the number one matchup this week, top five play, is should be consensus. And then last and finally, but not least, tight end one on the week, George Kittle.
Yeah, I love Kittle this week for the tight end. I'm at four, so he's definitely a play. I love Jordan Mason. Got him at seven. I think the volume's there. Like I said, I'm hammering the under. This seems to me like a 20 to 13, 20 to 7, 20 to 10 type of game where Kyren does his thing on the ground. Jordan Mason does his thing on the ground. I got Purdy at 16, and I got Ayuk at 20. So I do have him as a top 20 play, but after talking with you, I might put Jaxon Smith above Ayuk. It's not that I don't like Ayuk as a player, but I don't love him for fantasy. I think a 5 for 58 is a razor game. It's a game, or 5 for 70, let's even call it, is a great game for the Niners game plan, but that doesn't really do a lot in terms of being excited in fantasy. So I don't love that. I don't love him as a player. I'm not touching any of the waiver wire guys, the Juwan Jennings or the Jacob Cowings. None of those, not touching any of them. For me, on the Niners side, it's all Mason and it's Kittle based on the position. And then on the other side of things, it's really just Kyren Williams is the only guy I'm excited about. I have DeMarcus Robinson as kind of like an oh shit flex type play at 37, wide receiver 37. Same thing with Parkinson at 15, kind of in that muck of players. So I just think this game is a bully beat down for the Niners in a way that just sucks for fantasy because they don't give a rip if they win 17-7. If they can just dominate the ball. And that's just kind of how I see things going, given the lack of playmakers on the Rams side of this matchup. Sunday night football, the Kansas City Chiefs head down to the Dirty South to take on the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons are getting 3.5 points as home underdogs. Over under of 46.5 is not too shabby. I think it'd be a little bit less if we were in Arrowhead. But are we excited? Are we going back to any of these Falcons? Obviously, we're playing Bijan. You don't need to talk about Bijan. But what about London? What about Pitts? What about Cousins?
Yeah, I mean, you have to. You just have to. It's kind of the way that the thing is laid out for us today, or this week, I should say. Pitts has got a great matchup here. Got him at tight end 11, which is low. He's got the number one matchup on the matchup tool. You're looking at the wide receiver position. You talk about Drake London, a guy that, you know, caught a touchdown this last week. The model doesn't love him. I have him at wide receiver 23. I kind of like him quite a bit here. Past London, Mooney, flex guy, wide receiver 43 in this game. Technically ahead of Quentin Johnston and Adam Thielen right now. I know we skipped over the Carolina thing, but I do think somebody in that room is going to get targets. I don't know if it's Thielen or Deontay Johnson or fucking Mingo. Maybe it's Leggett. That would be if Leggett got those targets, Leggett would be the number one waiver wire ad next week.
Xavier ain't getting shit.
Tell you what, man, I think I'm going to get them targeted this week, and I think Andy Dalton and me got a great connection. And you tell you what, if I can go get that deep ball against these guys, I do think I'm going to catch a touchdown or two, because I tell you what, Andy Dalton's got that red rocket on him, and I think we can do something in this offense.
Here it is. There's our sounder. Exclusive sounder from Xavier Leggett.
That is the real thing I picked up. I just went to practice yesterday, and I got that from Xavier Leggett. This is Xavier Leggett, and you listen to South Harmon.
It's pretty good. Tyler Football will love that shit. He was a big fan of the accent. I do like Darnell Mooney as well. Got him at wide receiver 38. I like the connection that him and Kirk kind of put forth last week. But when I kind of look throughout the rest of the rankings, I'm with you. I got London at 24. I have if I was primarily starting Purdy and one QB and Sam Darnold, Kirk Cousins, maybe that was a Freudian slip. I feel about them exactly the same. Is available. I'm picking them up, making the switch from Purdy and playing Cousins. Pitts tight end 10 for me. So we're pretty locked up on that side of things. But how do you see the Chiefs playing out? So basically,
brother,
real quick, the Mahomes, the Worthy, the Rice, the Kelsey. Give me a quick, your rapid fire on those guys, and then we'll talk a little bit about the running backs.
Say his name. Say it to me. Say his name. Say his name. What's your brother's name? Travis. What is your brother's name?
Travis Kelsey. He's not my brother.
He's your brother. What do you mean? I thought you did a podcast with him on Wednesday nights.
I wish.
This is the guy. This is what we're doing here. This is a I talked about it on the hurdle. I'm going to bring it back up today. We're getting ready for the weekend. You know, I was asked today by an old friend who's in a massive league, you know, 53 man roster, you know, all offense. And then you get, it's all offensive, you know, weapon guys. And then you get like an offensive line and some defenders, but it's so deep on offense. And this guy goes, I was just offered Rico Dowdle, and I have to give up Kelsey and $800. And what? The reason this, listen, so you, it's a contractual league as well. So you know, his cap carries, and Rico's rookie cap carries, right? So you're dumping a lot of cap in this trade.
Okay.
Right. And I said, no, people have been waiting for this Travis Kelsey buy window for years. And he started slow. Again, we talked through the numbers, 11, 11, 17, 14, 17, 17, 17, 16, 20, 15, 16, 17, seven targets, the lowest target number through the first two games of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, the thing is we knew going into the season, they've talked about it. We knew it was going to be a slow start for Kelsey because we knew that they were probably going to milk him until the fourth quarter of every game if they needed him. And then they were going to milk him until week 15, 16, 17 when they needed him to get ready for the run. They're trying to win titles. They're not trying to win games, right? You can win 10 games and win a title. You don't have to win 15 to go win a title. Not saying that was their prerogative, but you get the
point. No, but you're 100% right. They don't give a shit if they get in a half a game in the seventh seed. They don't care if they get the first round bye. They don't care. They want to get in the dance.
I think in totality they go back to back. Yeah, I think in totality.
Of course, every team wants it, but if you could tell them they can win a championship, but they have to only win 8 games or get the number one seed and maybe or may not win, they would take the championship, obviously.
Exactly. So the cockamamie take here is that Patty Mack went over to Kelsey's probably tonight. This is what's going to happen. He's going to go over Pat's tonight, and he's going to go over to Travis's tonight, and he's going to go, "Hey, Travis,
It's time to shave that mustache, Trav.
It's time to go eat your steak. Put the chicken down.
Get to the steak.
Let's go to the gym.
We're going to work out.
I'm not turning the jugs on anymore. I'm throwing to you, and they're going to go in. And they're going to dial this thing back up, and he's going to wake him up. And Travis is going to go, man, I got to come out of hibernation already.
It's a love story. We could just.
And he's going to come out of hibernation, and I promise you this game, I mean, 92% of the bets are on the Kansas City Chiefs, 90% of the money against the Falcons. We just saw on Monday Night Football, now playing on Sunday Night Football. I think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to come out here in prime time and remind us who the Kansas City Chiefs are in 2024. I know they haven't looked, you know, phenomenal the first couple weeks, but I think you're going to see a different dynamic. We've missed this dynamic. They're 2-0. They beat the Ravens by 7. They beat the Bengals by 1. Maddie, this is time. This is time for the Chiefs to go, all right, we've been running the football like hell for the last 24 games with Pacheco. Now we bounce back. Now we're back to remember the Tyreek Hill days when Kelsey was in his prime and Tyreek Hill was in his prime. Well, guess what? Now we're going to see what this thing looks like with a pretty nasty wide receiver, one of the most underrated players in Rashee Rice, with the dynamic speed that Xavier Worthy brings. And now we're going to wake Travis Kelsey back up. And I think now is when you get the bounce back, you get the boomerang kickback with Travis, with Patty. People are starting to talk bad about Patty. Oh, you can't even, he's barely playable in fantasy football. He doesn't hardly score. They run the ball so much. Guess what? You better pucker up, Buttercup. You better pucker up. I think this is going to be a sick rebound, and I think we're about to see a run from the Kansas City Chiefs on offense, because this whole thing is going to – this is the art of Andy Reid, though. They can shift, and they can change on the fly, and I think you're going to see it. I don't think this thing is going to be like, yeah, we're going to run the ball 35 times with Carson Steele. We're going to do it. No, miss me. Miss me with the Samaje Perine. Miss me with the Carson Steele. Miss me with the Kareem Hunt. Maybe give me a little bit of Keontae Ingram. I'm just kidding. Miss me with everything in that backfield. Miss me.
The answer to that, my next question was going to be Carson Steele, P. Ryan, or all of them, none of them.
Carson Steele, sure. If you really got to do it, Steele's going to be the one that scores the rushing touchdown instead of the 5 if they get it, right? I don't want any of it, though. Like, I saw people blowing hella. What Rick Ross say? BMF? Blowing money fast? Like,
I'm with you. I got Steele at 32. I got Worthy at wide receiver 34, so I'm not dropping him down to the 50s like most. And I got Kelsey at 2, Mahomes at 6. I think that they show up on Sunday night, and I think they kick the living dog shit out of the Atlanta Falcons.
Where do you have Rashee Rice?
Oh, I got him six. You got him at four. Yeah, I mean, he's worth it. He's awesome. He's proven it. He's not getting suspended. All that shit's out the window. Blah 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 blah. Rashi Rice is a top seven, top eight play every single week. Okay, rapid fire. An hour and 20 minutes into the walkthrough. Woo! First and foremost, shout out to y'all, everybody who's been rocking with us. We love you. We do this for you. We go into the depths of the slate for you. Thank you so much for rocking with us. Make sure you head over to SouthHarmonFF.com. And just pick up everything the boys are putting down. We got articles coming out now. It's going to be sick nasty for the rest of the season. So just get ready for it. Okay, two Monday night football games, not one. A Monday night double-decker. But let's get a little bit of rapid-fire action going. First, let's start with a game that starts at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. The Jacksonville Jaguars head up to Buffalo, New York to take on the Bills. The Bills are 5-point favorites at home, over under 45.5. Does not suggest a whole lot of excitement overall, but we're starting Josh Allen. We're obviously starting James Cook. We're starting Dalton Kincaid. So let's start there. Are we starting Dalton Kincaid?
I mean, I think you have to. I mean, the way this team's built, you kind of just have to play Dalton Kincaid, because you just can't afford to. I mean, also tight end position sucks so damn bad. I know he's averaging 4.5 fantasy points per game and averaging three targets, but the boomerang has got to come back with he as much as Laporta. I got Kincaid at tight end 10 right now this week. Again, not bullish. Don't hate it, but Josh Allen is kind of just dragging this thing along. Josh Allen's doing the Lord's work right now.
Superman.
Yeah, I mean, he's literally, I mean, scoring 65 points the first 2 weeks against the Cardinals and Dolphins. It's the Lord's work. And now, I mean, he's in for a stretch now. They got the Jacksonville Jaguars at home on Monday night, and then they got Sunday night at Baltimore. Then they got Houston. Then they got Monday night at the Jets. So, I mean, three straight tough road games. They have to establish some type of hierarchy in this passing game. They need to establish Kincaid. They need to figure out what Keon is. This is a big game for Buffalo to kind of get this thing right, because you know Baltimore looks like Baltimore right now. But if Baltimore loses to Dallas, 3-0 Bills at 0-3 Baltimore Ravens on Sunday Night Football is going to be a fucking slobber knocker. And I mean, it's just you need to be established when you walk into Baltimore next week, and then Houston, and then the Jets. You just have to be. So I think that Kincaid gets right in this game. The running game is going to be so. I mean, people are loving the James Cook stuff. I got him at 13 this week. Where do you have him? Are you dipping right into the? You dipping your toes right into this thing or what?
Absolutely, the usage with Joe Brady is stupid, and I'm just not going to fight it. I got him at running back 8.
I guess
I will say though, in my personal rankings, all the way to running back 14 is you can convince me. This is my pool of I go Cook, Williams, Etienne, JT, Rashad, Jacobs, Henry. You could convince me any one of those are going to outperform any one of those. So for in my to just kind of pull back the curtain a little bit, I am at 8, you am at 13. That's not a whole lot of difference in my ranks.
Who's your biggest flex in this game? And why is it not Gabe Davis against his old team?
For me, it's Khalil Shakir. I have Khalil Shakir at wide receiver 25 this week. I love him this week. He's led the team in targets, and he's been a really good player after catch. His yak numbers over expected are nasty. And the Jaguars can't tackle for shit. They give up the most yak so far this season. So I like Shakir this week. So he's probably my flex player of the week.
13 fantasy points per game, 4 targets per game. These numbers need to increase for Brian Thomas Jr. I think he goes into this game and they potentially believe Gabe Davis is going to do something. I think it's Brian Thomas that nucleotizes. I don't even know if that's a word, but I used it earlier. I'm going to use it again.
Nucleotize. I'm going to use it forever. Nucleotize is pretty perfect, actually. Nucleotizing is the niche exclusivity of fantasy football in relation to big explosions. So nuclear bombs have their own place in the world, but nucleotizing is for us fantasy gamers. Let's call it that.
Nucleotide with a D is a compound consisting of nucleoside linked to a phosphate group.
Shit up in here.
Nucleotides from the basic structure.
We're an hour and 25. We're an hour and 25 in this pod. You cannot be talking about the periodic table of motherfucking contents. We're done.
I'm just telling you what nucleotides. I'm defining it for us because it's not a word.
Nucleotides is our own word. We're commandeering. It's ours. It's ours. We've now kidnapped it. It's ours.
Nucleotide. It's not a word. I'm telling you, it's our word. We created it. I was defining nucleotide for people to understand that it's some cockamamie science word. Nucleotides is when you vaporize the defense on offense and you score.
Yeah, baby. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. I love it, Coach JB. Speaking of, if you want to nucleotize, go listen to Coach JB's latest rant about the ESPN and Mel Kiper.
I retweeted it.
It was Cody retweeted that. Go check it out on X because that shit is hilarious.
I didn't retweet it, but I definitely retweeted it.
Yo, Coach JB, come on the walkthrough. Let's do it. Coach JB is a perfect fit for South Harbin. I mean, Coach JB would be perfect to come join us in Canton at the shit school. Well, if you have any connection to Coach JB from Last Chance U, send him this clip. We would love to chat with him because he's the fucking man. One more game, Cody. Let's get through this one last game. The Washington Commies head to Cincinnati to take on the Kitty Cats, the Cincinnati Bengals, a clash of 1-2 versus 0-2. 6.5-point favorites at home are the Bengals. Over under 47 is nice. Defenses stink. Could be a lot of points. Let's just go rapid fire. We're going to go rapid fire through the ranks because I think at this point, everyone kind of knows what both are bringing to the table. Where do you have Joe Burrow and where do you have Jane Daniels ranked?
92% of the money on the Bengals here. Joe Burrow, I got a QB 10. Feels a little bit low. I know he's playing against Washington's sip of a defense. I'm imagining with you having Chase as high as you do, I'm imagining you probably have Joe Burrow as a top four option this week. On the opposite side, with Washington, I actually have Daniels one spot ahead. I do believe that Cincinnati gets something up in this game, but I think Jaden Daniels continues to do what he's done, which is make this thing not look like Carolina because he's so good. He's making the situation not look like Carolina, even though I think it's closer to Carolina than it is Houston, if we're being honest with ourselves. Zach Moss, running back 23 on the week. Brian Robinson, running back 22, back-to-back. Eckler jumps into my top 30 for the first time this year. Eckler,
me too.
I knew in training camp was going to be fine. I didn't know he was going to be this good. Terry McLaurin, 36, back-end wide receiver 3. Jamar Chase, right now I got him at 6.
If Higgins plays, where are you going to have Higgins?
23.
I think I'll be a little bit lower than that, but I think 26, 27, 28, 29, 30-ish, that range. I got McLaurin at 30. So I think I might put him right under McLaurin. He might settle there in that Brian Thomas, Amari Cooper range. So that's where I'll have him. And I don't really have a whole lot of rebuttal here for the guys you've mentioned. You have Chase at 6. I have him at 1, and that is a tier pretty much all together. I got Burrow at 4, so I do like Burrow. Jane Daniels at 7. I think what you said about him being reason that doesn't look absolutely terrible over there is nails. It's perfect. And I think this is the week Jane Daniels puts it together. Week 1, we saw the rushing. Week 2, we saw pretty competent passing, very accurate passing, decent passing. And I think this is the game where some touchdowns are scored by Jane Daniels, and I think he has a pretty good performance. I love Brian Robinson again this week, 18. I mean, we didn't confer with our rankings here. Of course, we talked throughout the week, but this is the first week I got Eckler inside my top 30. I got him exactly at running back 30. I think he's a play for me, no doubt. If you had a zero running back build, he's a nice running back 2 right now. The way he's catching passes, the way he's being used, and kind of his juice. He looks like he's got some juice to him, so he's definitely someone worth firing up. Last question that I'm going to ask is tight end related. A lot of people looking for anything with a pulse at tight end. Mike Gesicki and Zach Ertz both showed a little bit of a pulse in week 2. Are you expecting anything from these meh guys in the tight end position?
I got him at 15, 16 right now. I got Gesicki with the edge at 15 because Higgins is still questionable. If Higgins plays, I think you're off playing Ertz. If Higgins does not play, Gesicki gets that bump.
He's Cody Carpentier. I'm Matty Kewem. This is the walkthrough, the entire week 3 slate. Get it popping and head over to southharmonff.com. Get yourself the warp tool, the season rankings, the weekly rankings, our articles, all access to the shows. Head over to South Harmon FF on YouTube. We're cooking, ladies and gentlemen. Keep it going. And if you head over to manscaped.com, use the promo code SHFF20, get 20% off. I know I probably shouldn't wait until an hour and a half in, but your boy forgot. But still, go ahead and do that. Keep it tighter than this episode. 100, an hour and 30, Cody. But we did it, baby. Any last words before we get the F out of here?
This is Xavier Leggett. You're listening to South Harmon.